The formation team reads: The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Hello everyone, and welcome to the fourth episode of The Formation Team Reads: The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. My name is Jonah, and I am your host this season. For all of our first-time listeners, I direct you to listen to the first episode we released, which goes over what you can expect from this podcast. For all our returning listeners, welcome. I'm so glad you can make it. Without further ado, let us start the fourth episode of The Formation Team Reads: The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We start off the chapter with Edmund and the White Witch each coming to terms with what the other is. The witch asks whether he is a son of Adam, much in the same way that Lucy was asked by Mr. Tumnus whether Lucy was a daughter of Eve. Edmund is also confused by this, but doesn't answer instead of sounding like he doesn't know what it means. He confesses to the witch that he came through the wardrobe, and the witch realizes that this is a weak point in her kingdom. She invites Edmund up to her sleigh to make him feel comfortable. She pours him a warm drink that Edmund has never tasted before, and asks him what his favorite food is. "Turkish delight," Edmund replies, and she provides a tin of it for him to eat. For anyone who doesn't know, Turkish delight is a type of taffy-like candy that has the flavor of rosewater. It was popular in England in the 1940s. There are still a few devoted followers of the dessert today. After Edmund is comfortable, the witch begins to ask him questions. He divulges all of it, from living in a land called England to having three siblings, which was particularly interesting to the witch. She tells him she would very much like to see the other children, and Edmund hints that he might be able to bring them to her. The witch promises Edmund all the Turkish delight he could ever want and promises to make him Prince of Narnia if he brings his siblings to her. She makes him promise not to tell his siblings about her. Edmund agrees and leaves to return to the wardrobe and England. Before he leaves Narnia, Edmund runs into Lucy, who is overjoyed at seeing him there. She tells him she was just having lunch with Mr. Tumnus, and they were talking about how he didn't get punished by the White Witch for letting her go back to England. Edmund's ears perk up, and he asks who the White Witch is. Lucy explains how the witch is evil, turning people into stone and making Narnia always winter but never Christmas, and falsely calling herself the Queen of Narnia. Edmund realizes that this was the same person who gave him a drink and Turkish delight, which makes him very uncomfortable. He attempts to justify this cognitive dissonance by telling Lucy, "You can't always believe what fauns say," sounding like a source of authority on the subject when he definitely is not. Lucy lets this slide, and they both agree to go back to England to tell the older siblings about the enchanted land they found. Just before the chapter ends, though, Lucy comments that Edmund looks really sick, and he sloughs it off, despite the fact that he was feeling very sick from all the candy, as well as his guilty conscience. In Chapter 4, we get our first glimpse of Tilda Swinton, otherwise known as the White Witch. We see her not as the evil and cruel ruler that Mr. Tumnus described in Chapter 2, but as a kind yet stark queen. She takes care of Edmund, giving him hot chocolate and candy to warm up from the cold, and listens to his story. However, once she leaves, Edmund is left sick from all the candy and feels guilty about agreeing to bring his siblings to the witch. In many ways, this is like the sin we encounter in our lives. It seems very appealing to us. It comforts us when we need to be comforted, especially when no one else is there to judge us for it. It could be sneaking an extra cookie from the cookie jar, or telling a lie about someone to feel more included in a group. Whenever I chose to do the things I shouldn't have, it feels exhilarating at first, even fun knowing I got away with something I shouldn't have. But in the end, it always comes back to haunt me, one way or another. I feel sick in the same way as Edmund does. Sin can make us sick in ways that aren't obvious at first. That's the nature of sin for everyone. Some Christians, like myself, believe that ever since Adam chose to eat the forbidden fruit, humans have had the desire to do things we know will hurt us or others. This is referred to as original sin. All sin is forgiven when we are baptized, but we are called to constantly struggle against sin whenever it pops up in our lives. The white witch represents sin in our lives, making our own lives always winter, but never Christmas. Let us remember in our own lives to always fight against the white witch and choose to reject her whenever she offers us candy and hot cocoa. Thank you so much for joining me today. Before you go, I have a few questions for you to mull over with your family and friends. Number one, in what ways does the white witch, or sin, tempt you in your own life? Are you tempted by food, like Edmund, or is it something else? Number two, how do you feel after doing something you know you shouldn't? How can the people closest to you help you resist these temptations? What does that look like for you? This concludes our fourth episode of The Formation Team Reads, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. I have had an absolute blast making these, and I'm thankful for all of you who keep the podcast alive by tuning in for the next one. Speaking of which, the next chapter will begin when the two younger siblings are back in England and each tells their own story of Narnia. Will Susan and Peter react differently now that Edmund is corroborating Lucy's story? Tune in next week for another episode of The Formation Team Reads, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe.